My favorite experiment has six-month-old babies watching a ball trying to struggle up a hill. And there's a helpful, friendly square that pushes the ball up the hill, and then a mean triangle pushes the ball back down. After watching this several times, they ask the babies to pick, to choose what to play with. They can pick a ball, a square, or a triangle. The babies never pick up the triangle. All the babies want to be the square. And science also shows that when adults see or perceive fairness, our brains release a substance that gives us pleasure, proper joy. But when we perceive unfairness, we feel pain. That's because unfairness triggers the primitive reptile part of our brain, the part that deals with threats and survival. And when unfairness triggers a threat, that's all we can think about. Motivation, creativity, teamwork, they all go way back. Unfairness is one of the defining issues of our society, and it's bad news for business. At work, unfairness makes people defensive and disengaged. A study shows that 70% of workers in the U.S. are disengaged, and this is costing the companies $550 billion a year every year. This is like half the total spent on education in the U.S. So removing unfairness and promoting fairness should be our priority. But what does it mean in practice? Is it about more rules? Is it about systems? Is it about equality? Well, partly, but fairness is more interesting than rules and equality. Fairness works in surprising ways. 15 years ago, I left a banking job to join a state-owned oil company. It was a different world. I had always thought the key to motivating employees was a risk-reward system where you could give the high performers bonuses and promotions, and give the underperformers something to worry about. But in this company, we had fixed salaries and lifelong jobs. Careers were secure, so my toolkit wasn't very effective, and I was frustrated. But then I saw that this company was producing some pockets of excellence, areas in which they beat the competition in very tough, competitive sectors. This was true in trading, in project management. It was very true in exploration. Our exploration team was finding more oil and gas than any other company in the world. I thought it was luck, but after each new discovery, that became less and less likely. So, did we have a special tool? No. Did we have a killer application that no one else had? No. So, what was our secret? I started looking at the employees really carefully. I looked at my friend who drilled 7 dry wells, writing off more than $1 billion for the company, and found oil on the 8th. I was nervous for him, but he was so relaxed. I mean, these guys knew what they were doing. And then it hit me. It was about fairness. These guys were working in a company where they didn't need to worry about short-term results. They weren't going to be penalized for bad luck or for an honest mistake. They knew they were valued for what they were trying to do, not the outcome. They were valued as human beings. They were part of a community. Whatever happened, the company would stand by them. And for me, this is the definition of fairness. When people know they work in a fair environment, then great things follow. These guys could be true to their purpose, which was finding oil and gas. They didn't have to worry about company politics or greed or fear. They could be good risk takers because they weren't too defensive and they weren't gambling to take huge rewards. And they were excellent team workers. They could trust their colleagues. And they were basically having fun. But these guys essentially were working in a fair system where they could do what they felt was right, instead of what's selfish, what's quick, what's convenient, and to be able to do what we feel is right is a key ingredient for fairness. But it is also a great motivator. And it wasn't just explorers who were doing the right thing. There was an HR director who proposed that I hire someone internally and give him a managerial job. This guy was very good, but he didn't finish high school, so formally he had no qualifications. But he was so good it made sense, and so we gave him the job. Or the other guy who asked me for a budget to build a cheese factory next to our plant in Ecuador, in the village. It didn't make any sense. No one ever built a cheese factory. But this is what the village wanted, because the milk they had would spoil before they could sell it. So that's what they needed. And so we built it. So in these examples and many others, I learned that to be fair, my colleagues and I, we needed to take a risk. But in a fair system, you can do that. You can dare to be fair. And science explains quite nicely why fairness is good and why unfairness makes us really defensive. But science also shows that in a fair environment, not only do we all want to be the square, but we tend to be the square. And this allows other people to be fair in turn. This creates a beautiful fairness circle. But while we start off fair, one drop of unfairness contaminates the whole pool. So our effort should be to filter out as much unfairness as we can. I worry about this a lot because I lead a team of 3,000 excellent people. And the difference between 3,000 happy, motivated team workers and 3,000 clock watchers is everything. So now I try to actively promote a culture of diversity of opinions and diversity of character. The second thing we do is a little more procedural. We look at all the rules, the processes, the systems in the company, the ones we use to take decisions and allocate resources, and we try to get rid of anything that's not very clear, not very rational, doesn't make sense. We then look at the culture and the motivation for the same reasons. But however hard you look at the rules, the processes, the systems, we're never going to do enough to get to the real essence of fairness. That's because the last mile of fairness requires something else. It's about what people's emotions are, what their needs are, what's going on in their private lives, what society needs. These are all questions and elements that are very hard to put into a spreadsheet, into an algorithm. It's very hard to make them part of our rational decision. But if we miss these, we're missing key important points, and the outcome is likely to feel unfair. So we should cross-check our decisions with our fairness center switched on. Is it right that this guy should get the job he's really hoping to get? Is it right that this guy should be fired? Is it right that we should be charging so much for this product? These are tough questions. But if we take the time to ask ourselves whether the rational answer is the right one, and we all know deep inside what the answer is, we've known since we were babies. And if we turn on our hearts, that's the key to getting the real best out of people, motivating them, because they can smell it if you care. And only when you really care will they leave their fears behind and bring their true selves to work. So if fairness is a keystone of life, why isn't every leader making it their priority? Wouldn't it be cool to work in a company that was more fair? We'll get there, but why is it not happening now? Well, partly it's because of inertia. Partly it's because fairness isn't always easy. It requires judgment and risk. Drilling that eighth well was a risk. Promoting the guy who didn't finish high school was a risk. Building a cheese factory in Ecuador was a risk. But fairness is a risk worth taking, so we should be asking ourselves, where can we take this risk? Where can we push ourselves a little bit further to go beyond what's rational and do what's right?